I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. Today on the podcast, I have back with me my dear friend, Melinda Correa Schmidt. Melinda, welcome back to the podcast. Fun. It's been a while, right?
Yeah. I think it's been a while since we've been on the podcast, but not a while since last week we communicated.
Exactly. You mean our last
text
conversation. Yes, exactly. Oh, you mean that one earlier this morning? Yeah, that one. Yes. So we are always communicating, but folks listening to the podcast don't realize that. And I thought, oh, it's overdue time to have Melinda back on. So I'm excited to have you here.
See, we just think we're doing podcasts because we're texting.
Exactly.
But we're not really.
Yeah, it feels like,
didn't
you know.
I say to you recently, oh, we're doing a morning radio show.
Yes. You're exactly. It feels, yeah, or anything, you know, feels like research for another show. Everything does, doesn't it? I'm not sure that that will ever die or go away. And that's okay, because we're lifelong learners. That's all part of that, too, right?
Yeah. We're talkers.
And talkers. I recently said that to someone, and they just chuckled.
Was that Mike?
No, it wasn't. He would have laughed really loudly. This person was kinder and just slightly chuckled. It's funny. It was a spiritual direction client. But we were talking about writing versus someone who's a verbal communicator versus someone who, or verbal processor versus someone, yeah, who really processes through journaling. And so that's always interesting. Yeah. Well, I maybe just a little quick business here on the front end, because I want to get this done. And then I really want to open us with a prayer that's been on my heart lately and mind, and a prayer that I've been reading on a daily basis. But I want to let folks know that a week from today, I am having hip replacement surgery, basically letting them know, so maybe you might pray for me next Monday. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, John gets all over me, my son, for this. Mom, it's not radio. They're really not listening on Monday when the podcast releases. He goes, a few of us do, but most people are listening weeks away and your surgery will be over. So, well, pray in the rears if that's the case. Anyway, just letting you know that. And but the podcast won't have any interruptions. I've had a great time lately recording some podcasts ahead, some wonderful topics and content that I'm excited about, and looking forward to talking to Sean Smucker about he and his family getting to know an immigrant family from Syria that live in their town. And Kathy Kong talked about how to raise our voice, how to do that in the right ways, appropriate ways, and what it looks like when people don't agree with you, etc. And Heath Adamson. And Heath talked about grace in the valley, and we really camped out on Psalm 23. And it's interesting, he was a pastor. And, or at least sounded like one. I got to remember if he's a pastor, but he sounded like this real, like, deep voice pastoral guy. I felt like he was kind of stiff. And I started poking at him, and he started coming alive. And it was really a fun podcast. And I think some good things came out in that podcast. So, some good things ahead. So let's.
And we'll be praying for you, Anita.
Thank you. No matter when you hear that.
Maybe you were putting it out there so people would bring a casserole.
Yeah. No, that's all right. I'm good. I'm sure Mike can cook.
Oh, now that is worth a chuckle.
Yeah, right? That is. It is. You heard my chuckle. Anyway, I'm sure some people, I've got a few people that live nearby that will look after me, I know. So that's good news. Mm-hmm. Well, I have been kind of paying attention to the welcoming prayer lately, and I can't remember really what sparked this. I think I was doing some reading about centering prayer, and that's, at least when I think of centering prayer, I always think of Father Thomas Keating, who passed away recently, actually. And so I pulled out this welcoming prayer, And it was like a balm for my soul. I just needed this to wash over me. And of course, you know, we've not that long ago come through another political season, the midterm elections, etc. So I'm sure some of it had to do with that. And I needed this prayer to wash over me. So let me just read this. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and God's action within. Amen.
Oof, there's a lot to welcome right there.
Yes.
Do you kind of choose a phrase every day, or?
I pay attention to, you know, one of the phrases over another, or honestly, to be honest, it's like when I read a book, I get stuck in the first part. It's kind of like that with this prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, how can I get past line number two? I welcome everything that comes to me today,
right,
because I know it's for my healing. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I can just stay there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and actually when I got to the end reading it just now, amen, what I wanted to do was say, well, it's been nice having you, Melinda. Let's we can end that and let people ponder that. Yeah. But it makes me think, to your comment, you know, do you hang out with a different phrase every day? I think this prayer is a really good reminder of how often we speed through things. You know, reading for, for speed. I started to say reading for comprehension, not retention, or whichever one I mean. You know, you read, but you do not retain. You don't soak it in. The words go by, but there is no sense of pondering, of waiting, of sitting with. And I think that's something that is learned. And I think it's an important tool that we have at our disposal if we will spend some time with it. I think it is something we need to do. Mm. Any phrase leap out at you?
Mm. Well, I think the first one, it's like, do I agree with him that, you know, everything that comes today is for my healing? I don't know. I think that I'd be sitting with that too for a while. I have to take things and kind of turn them around and think, now, where'd you get that? And mm-hmm. How is that proved? So, and then the rest of it just seemed like, you know, really good, but oh, boy. Well, you know what? Who wants to receive things that happen every day? Negative, and then try to think about, oh, good, it's for my healing.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes just like, I'm tired of getting healed up and
growing. Exactly. Well, I thought of the very next sentence, which I think is really its own struggle. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. Really? I'm not real welcoming of my, you know, like right now I think of conditions, hurting hip. I'm not super welcoming of that. But go back to feelings and emotions. I think it's a wonderful exercise to welcome them. I think sometimes, my personality, I stiff arm feelings and emotions. So I have to, you know, this language is really good for me personally. Yeah. Of those two things, mm-hmm. feelings and emotions.
I think of a book I read this year called The Gift of Acceptance, or The Gifts of Acceptance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is something to be said for that posture. But I think of that poem by Rumi, too. What's it called? The House Guest or something?
Yes, something like that.
You know, open the door and welcome whatever is there. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yep, same idea.
I know that the typical faith answer is, you know, you have strength for everything and God is your refuge and blah, 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 blah. But I think you're inviting us to go a little deeper and to think for ourselves how this works out in life and what keeps us from this and how do we really feel?
That's the thing. I mean, I think what you raised or what you said initially, yeah, where you said, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I really, if everything that comes to me, if I can welcome that, and because I know it's for my healing, is that true? And so I think, I do think we come from, a certain stream, have come up through a certain stream in evangelicalism where we were really taught, oh yeah, you have to accept everything. Even like this prayer, I can picture, well, a 10-year ago me, probably even 5 years ago me, easily, would have just read this prayer and just accepted everything in it and said, oh, that's wonderful. Let me put that in my file and maybe I'll read that again someday. But, oh, isn't that good? But not anything specific, not digging into a specific line or, yeah, right?
How you're thinking.
Oh, yes.
Thinking through it.
Yeah.
And what's that phrase? Think for yourself. The teacher might be wrong.
Yes.
So who am I to argue with Thomas Keating, Mr. Contemplative Prayer? But, you know, it's in that wrestling. For Pete's sake, you know, you talk about faith. We have a lovely history of people who, you know, fussed mm-hmm. with God and thought through and wrestled. And there's certainly space for that. And of Jacob wrestling till his hip hurt, by the way.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think of that a lot, actually. But I'm also thinking of your comment about, you know, who am I to argue with Father Thomas Keating? I think Father Keating would be the first one to give you a high five and say, exactly, exactly, right. Wrestle with these words. That's, you know, the point. And I think we miss that point because many... because often we've been raised to just accept whatever comes our way and not twirl it around and think through it and push back and question and, you know, no, believe, receive, believe, or whatever, you know. I think we come to a richer, fuller experience if we are willing to sit with and question and even feel a little unsettled for a time. And I'm not one that loves the unsettled feeling in life. And of course, who does? But I think that's also a call to us to maybe live in that space for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of that dichotomy of positive and negative pressure. The negative maybe be the wrestling and discomfort, but the positive, you know, risk can be fun. Mm-hmm. You know, and risking asking questions, I find that's kind of where faith gets interesting.
Yes.
You know, if we're just accepting and reciting.
Yes.
And I good, but how, you know, when you start picking that apart, you know, if you think of scientists, I just read this small book about Stephen Hawking, and you start thinking and pulling apart and challenging yourself with others, wow, you discover black holes and figure out if there's wormholes and start of the universe and everything else, and wow, that's a big God, isn't it? That's a big God, you know, who is willing to kind of play with you in that space.
Well, I love that phrase, a big God who's willing to play with you in that space, because I was about to say, if you're pushing back and questioning with a teacher, and that teacher is unwilling or unable or afraid of that pushback from you, not really a good teacher, not, you know.
That's a great example.
Yes.
You know, thinking of my grad school experience recently, the fun classes were when the professor just let it rip and we had class discussion with people from all over the world. And you're so right. If it was just a professor standing up there and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Boring, mm-hmm. Uninteresting. And really, what's to learn?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, and I think about that with scripture. Mike actually went to a Bible study when we first came down here, and he stopped going after a while because, you know, he was hoping that it would be a discussion oriented, and it was lecture, and really lecture with no room for any other interpretation. And you know, all you have to do is do a little bit of reading or research on you know, the ancient rabbis, and even current Judaism, the whole practice of midrash and thinking through and discussing, you know, I think of rabbis arguing with one another and
like Jesus the rabbi?
Yeah, like exactly, mm-hmm. including Jesus the rabbi.
Well, you know, I should back up and say, of course we can learn in a lecture and when
yes.
it's just, you know, that's naive to say we don't learn.
Thank
but
you.
It's a different kind of learning.
It is.
And some of us find ourselves ready for a new learning experience.
Yes.
And you've given us that opportunity by opening with the welcoming prayer from Thomas Keating.
So let's see if I can let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. That's another little bit when I come to that okay. part of the prayer that I find challenging. The positive side of that, growing myself, but not to force that but I can get in the mode of, I've got to change myself because, look at this, you know, the negative picky side of that. And how do I let go of that? And all of that, I open to the love and presence of God and God's action within.
Yeah, and isn't that where it ends up? Because we can't take those things out without putting something in.
Yes.
And,
yeah,
you know, sometimes for me, it's just, I can't do that other business. I just have to jump to opening myself to the presence of God because I cannot make sense
yeah.
of all that other stuff, myself or others or my situation or the future or whatever. So sometimes it's just easier to call a truce with myself and say, okay, Spirit, I'm opening myself to you.
Yeah.
Here's the white flag.
Yes.
You know, now help me do whatever is in front of me.
Yeah. I'm with you.
You know.
I'm with you. I'll put a link to the welcoming prayer in the in the program notes for people because some of you might want to print that off and sit with that yourselves. I hope you do. What have you been up to? You know, what's been your recent learns or whatever, wherever you want to go?
Well, you know, I'm still working part-time at Wheaton College grad school.
Excellent.
Shh, don't tell anyone. Not knowing what I'm doing half the time, but loving learning these new things and enjoy the people I work with.
Yay.
And,
excellent.
You know, this is Ed Stetzer's department at the Wheaton Grad School. So
100 miles an hour. That's what I'm thinking. No, never a dull moment.
I don't interface with him a lot, but he's taken over. He'd love if I said that. He is the presence at the grad school now. So making changes and dreaming big. And so, you know, there's a place of learning for me coming from the job that you and I had together, you know, kind of doing it with family, really.
Right.
You and Lori and I and Mark and Josh and engineers in the years past. But yeah, so different circumstances and different learnings. And being with students from all over the world. And then I meet with people and do stuff, and I'm still feel like I'm in a do stuff meaning conversations and Love that.
And, yes.
And a lot of good community and reading and, you know, I think still discerning, Anita, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, post midday career and radio career, just discernment about myself in this stage of life and family and location and all kinds of stuff. So plenty to think about and consider that really wasn't on my plate a few years ago.
You know, I think what's interesting, one of the things that we've had to consider and certainly have is the place of vocation in our lives. You know, vocation kind of was our lives.
Right.
Really our identity.
It was 24/7.
Yeah. Say that again. It was
24/7.
Yeah, 24/7. And while I felt grateful and very fortunate to have a job that lined up with so much of who I was, et cetera, all that, and to be able to do that for employment, you know, not everyone gets that, has that gift. And
right.
and so you have to start thinking, okay, then how is my soul filled outside of the things that I do to put, you know, bread and butter on the table, if you will. So that's been a good exercise. And that really has been a helpful exercise. I think one of the things that I've realized and I'm grappling with, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. I really feel and believe I need kind of a hobby outlet. And I'm sort of working on that, like a play-ish sort of outlet, because, you know, everything was all serious all the time. And I still can move that direction, reading, you know, the nonfiction. And I'm trying to keep my finger in fiction, because that is one of those kind of play outlets, and not fiction with a purpose or anything like that. But beyond that, you know, what might you be thinking about as a hobby, or do you think about that? Do you find the same need? I'm working on that right now and thinking about it.
Well, right now, part of my hobby is we're remodeling our house and thinking about selling it. So that's taking a lot of creativity and decision making.
That's huge.
I don't think so. I feel like I have a lot of community around here. You know, recently I went with some friends to Nebraska to a conference, and things pop up. So I'm sort of in this doing sort of mode. And then you and I are talking about this book idea.
Yes, we need to unveil that thought on this podcast. I don't know. I think it's going to be hard, but good and important and helpful. Yeah, you and I are working on writing a book together. You know, we say that now. We don't have a publisher yet for it, but we're talking to my agent about it and working on kind of getting it together. And talking about the direction we want to go with it. But we're thinking about, certainly, one of the things that will be talked about is grief, you know?
Right. Well, I think that's what kind of got us going on this. Hearing that grief journey and being intentional about being engaged with each other about that over the years.
Yes.
You know, since we left our position about 3 years ago. And it's kind of interesting. Talked with an agent about it, and there was some interest. So thinking about that, and that's actually digging into that has been a very kind of fun and sometimes sad and difficult, but really releasing experience.
True. All that you just said. And I'll even add this in too. You know, this is just anecdotal research, but would love to hear if people think that could be interesting or they would be interested in reading that. So I would love for you to email us here at the podcast, producer@anitalustria.com. Give us a thumbs up, thumbs down, comments, whatever. We'd love to hear from you. Again, producer@anitalustria.com. Yeah, good to hear from people, and as we're, you know, in the midst of this process.
We've talked about this idea of how we respond when an inciting incident happens in our life.
Yes.
And people write about that often.
Yep.
But there are different perspectives. And
I think what's partially interesting to me, you and I had the same inciting incident, but we're different people. And so we had different responses to that inciting incident. And I think that's really important, because even as we engage with people who have experienced grief, which is wide-ranging, let me say that, you know, often we think about the loss of a loved one, and that is a big, deep, serious grief, of course. But sometimes we leave it there. And there are many other kinds of griefs that happen, and certainly loss of a career or a beloved job is one of those. But we might engage with someone thinking, oh, everyone experiences these things the same way. And the reality is, no, we have very different experiences, because our personalities are many and varied. And
right.
That's true for you and I, even right. with the same inciting incident. And of course, all you have to do is look at your own family of origin and think about a specific experience that maybe happened in your growing up years. And all of your siblings, you and your siblings, had a different response. But you don't know, didn't even know that until later in life, when you started talking about it as adults and realized, yeah. Oh my goodness, you know, Johnny saw something totally different than Sally did. And yeah. So I think
right.
we've got to be aware of that. And I think that's an important distinction and part of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you wonder, what can I say that's different? But I don't think that's the point. You know, we're willing to get it down on paper, so to speak, or into the computer, and we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah. Well, and every experience is different. I think we often have that thought, what am I going to say that's different? But I realize how much I really do love the memoir genre. Not that this is exactly that, but it's certainly, there's a piece of that that will be in this. Because we learn from other people's experiences, because these are themes that are transcendent. Everyone experiences grief, even while it looks a little different. And sometimes we need a nudge to go a little deeper into that grief, and so that we can kind of get on that healing track, because sometimes, maybe even often, we can bury those griefs, and,
right.
you know, and we need some help. I can't tell you how many times a book has been that help for me, to help mm-hmm. me uncover something or deal with something or see a different edge to a different facet to the gem, if you will, you know.
Well, and I think, you know, going back to your welcoming prayer from Thomas Keating, as we welcomed grief in stages,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, it's, Dave and I were with two people over the weekend. We were in San Antonio, Texas, at one of my husband's business, on one of his trips, and met two people, a woman who had lost a 39-year-old daughter to cancer, left three kids,
oh.
and a husband who got cancer 6 months later.
No.
He's come through it.
Oh.
And then another man who lost his 15-year-old daughter to cancer 2 years ago.
Wow.
And, you know, there was a camaraderie and a knowing in that experience, although the griefs were very different.
Sure.
And, you know, it is an opportunity to go to this deeper place and have shared experience, which is what's the definition of intimacy in To Me See.
Yes.
That really brings people together at a new level and a new place. And I'm just discovering that, you know, 3 years ago, I didn't know much about this, but since grief has become more a part of my life, not just job, but a death of family and other incidences, it's expanded me and
yes.
expanded my people group.
Yes, definitely.
And you know, I've appreciated that.
I think a thought that I've been kind of turning over in my head lately is this, and it came to me via a prayer that I read in a book, no surprise. But the prayer ended, and actually it's an old prayer song from Ghana. the prayer ended with something about walking a mile in others' shoes. And I think we think about that a lot, and I think that is important. But actually, what I've been thinking about is, while I do need to do that, sometimes that is my way of pushing off and dealing with what is it really to walk a mile in my own shoes.
Mm.
How do I come to myself in my own shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's amazing to me how many things, situations, people, whatever, can distract us from coming back and coming home to things that we need to think through and deal with. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 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 No, I agree with you. I was reading, I was looking at some Nicole Nordeman songs, and she was explaining what the lyrics meant to one of her songs.
Didn't you hear her? You heard her recently. Right?
Yeah, at that conference I went to in Nebraska. But she said, really, this is about me finding me. You know, I feel like I shouldn't have started this because I can't remember it.
Are you looking for a specific song?
Yeah, I copied some of these off. Maybe it was, I don't know.
That's
but anyway,
okay.
Just this idea of what you're saying of, you know, it's not always for other people. Sometimes it's, you know, for us. And I think sometimes we can get so outwardly focused with our experiences. How can I help someone else? Like you said, it's kind of covering up our own experience and what we think. Because if we did that, we'd be on the floor crying.
Yeah, exactly.
Or journaling for 3 hours. You know.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, eventually, at the end of the day, we do have to walk through / work through our own experience. And sometimes for a time, absolutely, we do need to set it aside. We might not be able to engage with it right then when it happens. I want to say that and be understanding of that in people that are hearing me and going, I can't just yet. And that may be true. I think we probably can sooner than we realize, you know, some of us, depending on the way we're wired, our Enneagram number or type or whatever, some of us can push that stuff off longer and struggle to engage with it on a deeper level because it can be very painful.
Yeah.
And yet it's really important.
Well, and to your point, we're not all called to the same thing all the time.
Yeah, that's good. That's right.
You know, if we write this on grief, it will resonate with some, right, and not with others. But I'm really coming to believe that when we feel like we don't have a choice or we can't control something, that's grief.
Yes.
Because grief, we can't control whether our loved one died. We can't control if we lost our job. We can't control the divorce. We can't control our husband's double life. We can't control our, you know, adult kids. I was at the gynecologist this morning and asked her how as we chit-chatted.
Yes, exactly. Well, it all happens.
She said, oh, they're getting older. And she said, actually, it's more work than I thought. I feel like I have to be so much more vigilant. And her oldest is 21. And I'm like, lady, you've got some time to go. You know? We can't control these things. And sometimes we don't have choice. And that brings grief. And sorrow that, dang it, we can't do anything about that. And I'm so, sometimes we're mad, sometimes we're sad.
Now, this is a little broad brushstroke-ish of me. So please push back if it's too broad, but I love that you just said that. I say that little definition of grief again that you said right at the beginning of that little.
Well, when we don't have choice, something happens to us that we didn't choose, or we can't control the circumstances.
Then there's
grief. That there can be grief.
Yes. So I appreciate that because I think so many things enter our lives that fall under that definition. And I think that we, over the course of our lifetime, we bear many, many griefs, but we don't even realize it and can't and don't name them as such. I wonder if even that's a contributor to so much depression in our world.
Anxiety.
Yeah, so that's my broad brushstroke. I don't want to put it all under grief, but I think we don't identify. I think there are a lot of griefs that go that enter our purview that we don't name as such.
Yeah.
We don't see, or no one's given us this broader, beautiful definition that you just did. And, or we think, oh, that shouldn't be, you know, we go to the shoulds, that shouldn't be a big deal. And
well,
we try
hey,
and
we live
sweep
in America.
It.
We live in America. Mm. You know, we don't, we didn't, we're not crossing the ocean on a big wooden boat, you know, we're not, you know, we can solve anything, get your flu shot, you know, fix anything. The real point of a Western lifestyle is to enjoy life without tears.
Oh, boy.
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
But our friends around the other side of this globe, south of us, are the majority. And you think of even my own faith background and yours, lots of stuff about tears. Lots of stories and writing about tears in the Bible. And I think of Jesus weeping for, you know, this little anecdote in the Gospels of Jesus crying for a whole city.
Yes.
You know, and there's a lot about tears. And I think that probably sounds super depressing to some people. And they're like, get me out of here. But to others who get it, they're like, say more.
Right.
I'm right with you. Mm-hmm. And so that's okay. We don't all have to be the same. And, you know, our journey, your journey and mine, you know, and Lori, our producer, it was not the same.
No, no.
It really wasn't the same. So that's what I think can be interesting about sharing this journey if we do end up producing something about it.
It's interesting because I had somebody on the podcast not all that long ago, Felina Hewerts. And I said to her, you know what? I looked at the copyright of her book. It was re-released. I looked at the date and I said, okay, I think 2010. I said, this came across my desk and I read it and I knew we couldn't talk to you on our radio show. You were ahead of your time for conservative evangelical circles.
Is that the Pilgrimage book?
Yes, it is.
Well, what I remember is I wasn't that interested.
Okay.
It didn't interest Pilgrimage. That's for this other group of people. They're just kind of the hippie type Christians.
I loved it, but knew I couldn't do anything with it and took it home. And I said to her, I said this, and she said, that's exactly what the publisher realized. It was going nowhere. And now, 8 years later, they re-release and people are snatching it up and are grabbing onto it. Yeah,
I've read the re-release. I thought it was new.
No. Same book. Same book. And
I wasn't going to be interested in this back then.
Isn't that fascinating?
Well, I think we are becoming more attuned to grief and wounds, and certainly our current culture and, you know, I think Harvey
Weinstein and all that
opened up lots of wounds.
Yes. And that continue. Yes. We're still.
Our hearts are being touched in new ways, I think.
Yeah.
A new permission to open our hearts and to feel what's in there.
Yeah.
But don't you think so?
Absolutely. But also to your point, we're only ready when we're ready. You know, through the publisher, Philena's publisher, InterVarsity Press, they had this recognition that, this audience that we tend to send books out to is not quite there yet. But, we think they are now, and they...
Wonderful.
And I thought, good for them. We
mature of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. What you and I write may not, hit the bullseye with some people, but 5 years down the road, maybe it will. And it will for a whole group of other people.
Oh, I have to tell you this.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, you know this, so I'm kind of maybe repeating to you, but when I spoke at that women's group.
Yes. I remember
and
this.
I spoke about grief and our midday experience, and they did not like it.
Mm-hmm. You got big pushback.
I got big pushback.
Slash backlash.
Yeah, yes. And even the director of the women's ministry afterwards, she said, I'd love to get together and talk with you. And I was like, oh, she must have loved what I did. Well, I came to find out that she actually wrote all the people that attended and included Bible verses and scriptures. She didn't think I had included enough and so forth. So what, you know, kind of a bomb that was. And, you know, I didn't feel too good about it. However, certain women afterwards came up to me and wanted to connect. And I remember talking to my counselor and telling her this, and she said, you know, today some of those women didn't get it, but give them a period of time, just like you said, Anita.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, it may become something that they relate to. They don't have to, and that's okay. I understand. I'm so sorry to say, I just wasn't on track with where these women were, but, you know, that really did happen. I have ended up getting together with one person regularly out of that audience who found me to be a safe place to tell her story. And I got together with another woman and another. But yeah, it just, we have to account for that. And I had to not take it personally, although it sure hurt my ego.
Oh, absolutely. Totally get that. Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
It just wasn't the message for that group. And I've really been hesitant ever since because, you know, I don't know, or maybe more careful. It was a growing experience, mm-hmm. I guess.
Well, and, you know, or asking questions about the audience, but sometimes the person that books you doesn't know their audience themselves. I've also realized that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that there's anything you might have done any differently. And
because I talked about Psalm 23, but I don't know. I guess she felt like I didn't give them enough hope because I was talking about the grief and about the necessity, you know, how counseling and spiritual direction had helped me and facing into what had happened to me and the naming the loss. And that's just not where her direction was.
And the people that needed to hear your message did, and you have since connected, you know?
What a small crowd.
Oh, fascinating. Which I think that's another thing I'm realizing as the older I get, the smaller, if you will, what's the way to say this? The smaller the audience.
Right.
And I don't have any problem with that. I mean, every once in a while I think, wow. What used to be, you know, this is me now. And even watching the podcast audience, I've stepped out, you know, I'm in year four of the podcast.
Oh.
And year one, I sometimes tell people that find me, don't even listen to year one. I was still finding my voice, you know, don't even bother. Okay. But I think as I find more of my voice and get stronger in my voice, I think that actually has driven some people away. And so this podcast audience is smaller than when it first started.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, and I'm one-on-one with women in spiritual direction, and that's more than okay. You know, I love that. But it's really interesting. It kind of reminds me of Richard Rohr, too, and just the journey of growth that we have. And I mean, I feel stronger and more energized in so many ways, even though the people and amount of people that I talk to is much less than it used to be. So it's it's kind of counterintuitive, but it's good. Yeah.
Well, I think the theory of expansion, you know, the universe expanding.
Yes.
As people of faith are experience of God expands, and I want to expand.
Yes.
I'm not ready to go smaller. I'm expanding. But how funny that expanding also includes smallness.
Yes.
How isn't that? But you think of Jesus' huge expansion. God smaller comes to earth.
Yes. Yes.
And yet expanded his presence, God's presence all over the globe. You know, it's just kind of interesting to think about this difference between smallness and then expanding. And yeah, like you, my world has hugely expanded, but the numbers are smaller.
Yeah. I look back, I think back And I think, you know, the church is often all about numbers, programs and numbers. How many people are doing this and going to this?
With good intention.
And it is an indicator, but it can never be the only indicator. And I go back to years ago when I went through a program with Adele Calhoun called Growing Your Soul. And it was the number of people who were interested in it was small. It was a small group experience, an intense 9-month experience with, I think, 8 of us in a group. And there were 2 groups that ran concurrently. And I think this happened for about 3 years. And I remember the question coming up, well, can't we grow this? Can't more people, you know, why isn't this bigger? And why, you know, the question of numbers that, wow, it seems awfully, it's not really cost effective to engage 2 pastors with just 16 people at a time. And eventually that program was dropped and, you know, maybe being picked up again. I don't know. I'm no longer there. But I think the programs and the, it's not a program, but things that take us deeper in our soul, the deeper things will always and only appeal to a smaller number. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is. Yeah.
12 disciples.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, small groups.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus did not show up in a digital age.
Right.
He only came for, we think, 30-some years. What, yes. He couldn't have stayed 30 more? I mean, don't you think Jesus could have?
Yeah.
He knew the fountain of life.
Yeah.
Lived for 100 whatever years, right, like those Old Testament dudes. Mm-hmm. You know, small. When we give birth, it's generally to one person. Generally,
yep.
We're not cats or dogs. We're not pups. You know,
yes.
We don't have big litters. But birth comes in small doses, small packages.
Yeah.
And sometimes when it gets bigger, Anita, it gets kind of goofy and
smaller. There can be
institutionalized. Things. Now we got to have rules.
Preach.
And we don't have to have rules. We
preach.
Get to meet with people one-on-one, yes, or small groups, and there's no rules, nothing holding us back. Even, yes, Jesus was fighting against the religious structures,
yep,
right?
All the time. All
they drove
the time.
Crazy.
Yeah.
He was going out meeting with people in homes and hilltops.
Mm-hmm. And unsavory types.
Yeah. And apparently he did not visit China.
Yeah.
Or South America, you know, what in the world? Talk about small.
Right.
But powerful.
Yeah.
So I think we should take heart.
Yeah.
You know, in our communities where we are, that's good enough.
Totally agree.
Good enough for me right now.
Totally agree. Me too. It's all I can handle. Thanks. And glad of it. Yeah.
After we were let go, a friend said to me, you know, she took me, we went out for lunch. She said, I'm concerned about you. She said, I think, you know, you can have a megaphone for thousands of people. And I just looked at her and said, I don't feel led to that right now. I'm happy where I'm at, but well-intentioned, right?
Yeah, yes, definitely. Yes. A lot. When people care about you and love you, they want these things for you. They're not thinking about what the journey that's really there.
Get the message out to more people. You know, evangelistic hearts.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but that's not the way things have shaped up and shaken out. And I can say that I'm grateful now, you know, 3 years down the road, plus 3 years down the road. Yeah.
Yeah. Likewise.
Yeah. Wow. Well, anything else before we wrap up? We've gone here, there, and everywhere. It's all connected, though.
Well, I think one thing I was thinking about that perhaps figures in here is, I've mentioned it a couple times, is going to this conference in Nebraska, which is eight hours from my house. I've gotten to know some Indiana Midday Connection listeners.
Love it.
And we get together, and 2 of them, you know them, Lori and Sharon, mm-hmm, invited me to go to Leslie Vernick's conference in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Ooh.
And it's mostly, you know, Leslie's audience is for women in destructive marriages or relationships.
Right. Yes.
And she's got a big ministry there. I know women loved her on Midday Connection.
Yes, they did.
So why would I go to this?
I don't know.
I'm not in a marriage that's, you know, destructive.
For the car ride and camaraderie along the way?
You know, we're doing a remodel. I'm tired. But I said yes.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking about that, about taking risk.
Mm.
Wow, we had such a great time, notwithstanding our tangent to the outlet mall in Iowa.
That's great, yes.
But, you know, it really was very insightful to go. Mm. Got to see Leslie and
yes,
you know, talk about you and what we were doing and all that. But it was just a great time of the car ride, conversation, getting there. I went to two workshops. One was on grief,
mm,
and the other was on this mind-body connection. And Leslie spoke, and Dr. Sherry, I think her name is Keffer, spoke. And Nicole Nordeman, who I had no idea her story of loss.
Yes.
Which you probably did because you're so into music. Oh, my goodness. Her latest CD, fabulous. I was, you know, teary-eyed by the time she got done. We went to a book fair, the Lincoln Book Fair.
Oh, wow.
And brought home a box of books because I need more books.
Shocking, yes.
Anyway, it was really kind of pivotal for me.
Oh, I love it.
This year.
Yep.
Thank you for saying that. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, I took a risk and took a big car ride with, you know, I've hung out with them before, but, you know, we had to all stay in a hotel room together and all the rest. We had a loft, which they gave me. Thank you. They're sisters, so they stayed together. But it was just a fabulous experience. So, you know, I did a lot of thinking. Leslie asked me what I'm doing these days, and I gave a real wimpy answer. And I thought about it the rest of the weekend, how I'm not owning myself and my story. Okay, that's one thing I left Lincoln thinking about. But also, I was able to share with a friend here back in town about the conference, and she now has gobbled up all, you know, so much of Leslie's material. So
wonderful.
You just don't know when we take risks,
right?
You know,
yes.
What there is for us, and doing kind of that uncomfortable thing, and trusting ourselves to have the resilience to go the distance.
Yes.
And do it. And it was. Yeah. I've got a notebook of notes and downloaded Nicole Nordeman songs, and it just was so enriching, and it was the great break I needed.
So I'm so glad you mentioned that. I've met a new friend who just appears like super confident, and I'm realizing, you know, when you have some big loss like we did, that my confidence level is, you know, kind of went, you know, kind of got flushed down the toilet, and it's reemerging in a different way. And I needed it to probably to reemerge in a different way, but I realized, oh, okay. I need to think this through and kind of grapple with this a little bit. And what's pushing my buttons here and why and all that. And so that risk piece, you know, I could kind of curl up and go, no, I don't need to get together with this person. I'm, you know, I'm getting to know other people here, and that's fine. And
right.
But no, I that's right. And I'm going to say, I have said yes, not going to say, I already have said yes, because I know just what you said, you know, and I'm so glad. I'm glad you raised that, because I think it's really important. I think it's important for someone listening to the podcast to hear this too.
Well, I hope so. Mm-hmm. Just do it.
Yep.
Just do it. When Leslie spoke, she said about fear, give fear a voice in your life, but not a vote.
Oh, yes, that's great.
I thought that was so good. But yeah, what, you know, if risk comes along to any of us in the next weeks, we'll say yes.
Yes.
You don't know how your world might expand.
Yes. And you don't know what they might, you know, the seeds from this other experience that will be planted in you that may grow immediately, may, you know, be a watering can on you immediately that you needed, or may sprout and grow later on. We just don't know. But I think it's right. really worthy of thinking about right. and paying attention to.
So take risks, I guess. What's kind of stuck with me. You never know what's out there.
No, you don't. And sit down with a friend and have good conversations. They really are important. So much comes out in the form and shape of a conversation. You know, when you follow those threads, I go back to the days of Milrose. You never know where even that little topic that seems unimportant, like what's in your garbage can? You know, I think back to that one that led us all kinds of places. But have some conversations, talk and be vulnerable and open up and share something that's going on.
Yeah. Right? Yes, exactly. Exactly. And as we risk and take these opportunities, mm-hmm. you know, it can build our confidence, challenge us, lead us to something else. Maybe it's just a website or a book or some music. But it is, like you said, the watering can. Gosh, who doesn't need some life-giving water in their
Yes,
life?
Indeed. Absolutely.
You never know where it will come from and in what weird way. Maybe it's an 8-hour car trip to Lincoln, Nebraska.
I love it. It's so good. Yeah. Oh, well, this has been so good. So wonderful to talk with you. And
all the best on your hip surgery. Yeah. That's no small thing. So I know you've done a lot of research and you're getting your courage together, and we're just trusting you'll be good as new on the other side.
Yeah.
Do you have therapy after that then?
I assume so. I think that.
Oh, you will.
Yeah, I think someone comes to the house and I'm right. Counting on that because it's outpatient surgery, if you can believe that.
Well, you've got Nurse Mike.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Not really thinking that
Isn't
at all.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. You used to get a week of vacation in the hospital back in the day.
I know. I was kind of looking forward to that week of vacation, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling good. You know, it's a little ways off. Yes. And sometimes the pain helps propel you toward the relief. Right. And so I'm in some ways grateful for that. That keeps you kind of going, oh yeah, because there won't be pain down the road. And that pushes you
like
forward.
Like childbirth. He'll do anything at the end. To
exactly.
Get that.
Yeah. Totally. That's it. Exactly it.
Well, go get him.
We'll do.
Supporting you and praying for you.
Well, thanks for your good thoughts today. Great to have you on the podcast. And would love to hear from people. Again, producer@anitalustria.com. And as always, keep the conversation going.